Sisters and brothers, grace and peace be yours from the God revealed to us in Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Well, for those of you still following in the bulletin, you may have noticed I am not Pastor Jeff Isley. I thought about trying to fool you with some Star Wars references in my sermon, likening maybe Yoda to the Magi, but I wasn't sure how my exegesis would go over with the boss here. So I stayed away from that. So today, just as we're giving a nod to Baptism of Our Lord Sunday with the anniversary of baptism milestone, we're also celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany, which was technically yesterday, as Pastor Jeff said, but still deserves some liturgical airtime once in a while. Epiphany is the first day after the 12 days of Christmas. It's the first day of the liturgical season, which follows Christmas as a season. And it is biblically rooted in our gospel text today, the story of these mysterious magi from the East who pay homage to the Christ child. Well, in many parts of the world, Epiphany is a big deal. For example, you'll see here German Chancellor Angela Merkel celebrating Epiphany back in 2015. In Germany, Epiphany is a federal holiday, as my husband learned when he was in Germany in January a few years ago. On Epiphany, German children go around caroling while dressed as the Magi, and when they arrive in homes, people offer them treats, and the children ask their hosts to donate to various causes. Well, in Spain, and in Spanish-speaking countries, this is Spain, Epiphany celebrations often include a parade with actors dressed as the Magi, and often an indulgence is consumed by the name of some form of the Three Kings Cake. This is now Mexico. The Three Kings Cake has an item, tradition goes, it has an item hidden inside to represent the baby Jesus who had to be hidden from King Herod. Bulgarian tradition around January 6th revolves more around the baptism of our Lord, when men race in near-freezing waters to find a wooden cross. And finally, here are some glimpses of Epiphany celebrations in Ethiopia, and finally in Poland. But here in the U.S., at least with U.S. Protestants, we don't make quite so big a deal about Epiphany. I don't know about you, but I spent my Epiphany doing some work and making a run to Bed Bath & Beyond. As a USA Today article about Epiphany states, most U.S. Protestants mark the day of Epiphany on the Sunday closest to January 6th, and it is usually limited to that day's church service and sermon. So lucky for you, it means the extent of your Epiphany party is this sermon, and the rest of the liturgy, of course. So my sincere apologies for the pressure here. I can't tell you exactly why Epiphany has been bulldozed in American Christianity and culture. If one of you can tell me, please do. But what's particularly ironic about this is that we've limited the message of the Magi to the obvious and expected setting of Sunday morning worship. And this precisely contradicts the characters and setting of the Magi's story. It's a journey of astrologers outside of established Judaism. And they are walking outside, guided by a star in the night sky, to meet the Messiah. So perhaps the story of the Magi belongs more in glitter and cake and street parades than in the confines of a church building, more with children and carols than in indoor hymns. But of course, given my line of work, I'd argue that marking this day in worship still has great value, especially if our singing together means we might all sing of light and wonder outside of this building, especially if the story of the Magi reminds us that God's light is always guiding us, even through grief and uncertainty. Epiphany worship matters, especially if Christ's meal of bread and wine will lead us, like the Magi, to go from here by another road, a road of grace and mercy, a road that celebrates the expansiveness of God's love. Well, immediately before our Magi story today in Matthew's gospel, the gospel writer has announced the birth of Jesus the Messiah to a woman named Mary. Following the birth announcement, the writer says an angel visits Joseph, the man engaged to Mary. The angel says to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't run away from her just because you don't quite understand what's going on or because you're scared." Dreams are a big thing in the Gospel of Matthew, particularly in and around this story for today. Because next we have the story of the Magi, these astrologers, even scientist-type figures, who will eventually be told in a dream to protect Jesus, the Messiah, from the envious King Herod. And after our story, an angel will come back to Joseph in another dream, prodding him to take Mary and Jesus to flee to Egypt, where they'll be safe from the murderous Herod, who indeed orders the slaughter of all baby and toddler boys who would be around Jesus' age. This is a story of dreams and danger, of fear and fascination. Back when the Magi first learn about the child who has been born king of the Jews, they inquire about him. They ask around, they ask where he is, how to find him, and word gets around to Herod. Now Herod considers himself to be the king of the Jews, so as the text says, he was frightened, or perhaps better translated, he was shaken. And so was all of Jerusalem, shaken with him, most likely for different reasons. Herod, shaken in jealousy and fear that someone will threaten his power or even overtake him. Perhaps Jerusalem is shaken because they're not sure how Herod will react. They know he has a fragile ego, and they're not sure how far he'll go when it's threatened. Or maybe Jerusalem is shaken in a way that we're all shaken when we know the world will soon change, for better or for worse. The ground has shifted, and instead of seeing it as an earthquake, as Herod does, maybe Jerusalem sees it as the earth moving under their feet, a movement toward justice and promise fulfillment, toward a world that will expand the promises of God to places and people they can't yet dream of, like a few Eastern astrologers, and like you and me. Even so, the Magi don't seem to be shaken, and they set out to meet the child. Herod, in a moment of panic, has told them precisely where to find Jesus. So the Magi eventually land in Bethlehem, where they find Jesus, the child Messiah, and his mother Mary. And they are overwhelmed with joy before offering their gifts. After worshiping the newborn king, these mysterious men return, but not to their lives as is, not back to the familiar path, but by another road. The story has shaken them, but it seems in a good way, in a ground beneath my feet kind of way, in a promise fulfillment kind of way, like when you know everything has changed, everything is uncertain, but somehow there is a peace to it, a grace. Because at those times, when you experience that peace, you may know God has led you there and will lead you home, even if by another road. It's a new year, a new liturgical season. Maybe life has had you shaken in a good way or in a bad way. Maybe you're not sure how you got to where you are or which path to take forward. Maybe you've made some resolutions that are already faltering. Or maybe some are still going now on day 7 of 2018. In his Epiphany Mass sermon yesterday, Pope Francis called out the Magi's invitation to taking risks. He said this: "If we want to find Jesus, we have to overcome our fear of taking risks, our self-satisfaction, and our indolent refusal to ask anything more of life. We need to take risks simply to meet a child. Those risks are immensely worth the effort, since in finding that child, in discovering his tenderness and love, we rediscover ourselves." These are fitting words for our life together as Spirit of Joy, as we take new risks together this year. In the next few months, we'll imagine together what a building expansion might look like, how our space could become more hospitable to our neighborhood and to our own abundant life together. We'll consider how expanding our building might also expand our ministry. And you'll soon be hearing more and more about our efforts to sponsor a refugee family through Lutheran Social Services. We hope to greet and welcome a refugee family in the next month or two. And we cannot deny that this is a risk to boldly step toward welcoming refugees when so much rhetoric would tell us to do otherwise. But for just a few of our sisters and brothers whose world has been shaken by persecution and fear, We want to be a part of settling the earth under their feet. We want to say that our faith is grounded in the story of God coming to earth in a risky way into a family who themselves became refugees for fear of a dangerous king. So this Epiphany season, perhaps our celebration might become an outside Epiphany after all, maybe not with cakes or parades, but with love and with radical, risky hospitality, with an expanded imagination for where God might be leading us together. May we all continue looking to the star in its rising, following the Magi to the place where God meets us, in the manger and in the neighbor. Let us follow together where we too might be overwhelmed with joy. Amen.